Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
It's time for the Guardians update. We've all been waiting for.
The Guardians are in the thick of the playoff race as we speed closer to October.
Angel hits a high fly ball deep left field. Gone! A grand slam! And the Guardians have shocked the Astros. Hammer deep left center field. Gone! Gabby Arias with a big three-run homer. Line drive left center field. Book it! Manzardo walks him off in the 10th.
For the latest on the Guardians' hunt for October, here's Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin.
Oh, we're going to be playing that.
That was a good intro.
Yeah, we're going to be playing that. A big thanks to Alyssa from Q for giving us the voice there. Mac with the music bed of the century. I now feel like we're in the playoffs, too.
Yeah, that was really well done. It's funny because I heard Mac go and get the audio before the show got underway, and I heard Alyssa after she recorded it. She's like, I can do anything you want. Just wait. Like, she's very eager to do it. She's very excited to do it. And so I was like, oh, no. You know, usually you worry about that. If people are like over the top excited to do it, you're like,
especially if they're over the top excited to help Mac.
Yeah, then you're like, what's really going on here? Yeah. I'm not sure, but you're like, it'll be a mediocre job at best. You didn't give her best, and that was awesome.
So thank you again to Alyssa because that was awesome. Thank you to Mac. Mac did the legwork on this one. Quite good job out of that. Out of him, I don't know why I said that. He's part of the they. Okay, that has a different connotation. Good job, Mac, is all I'm going to say. The Guardians are 5.5 games back out from the Tigers in the Central Division after the win over to Detroit last night. They're still 2.5 games back in the wild card. It felt like a half step forward last night because it was like it really would have been nice if you could have gained some ground in the wild card, like real ground.
No, and that's what the eye should be on the wild card right now. They really should be. I know we're getting excited talking about the AL Central, and we can dive into that a little bit more, but it should be on the wild card. That's what really is right there for you. That being said, they've been a much better baseball team than the Tigers now for going on 2 months.
Yeah.
It's not even close. The Tigers have been a .500 baseball team for 2 months now. The Guardians, since that 10-game losing streak, Nick, are 39-23. You are a much better baseball team than Detroit currently is, and we're going on about 2.5 months worth of data on that.
There is a part of me, though. There is a part of me that has a little bit of fear about, because we know, I mean, they've been so, while they have, on the whole, been great, it's been peaks and valleys. They're either winning six straight or they're losing 5 of 6. It's not the Mariners. Are they peaking too soon? Because the Mariners still appear to be peaking. But is there a little bit of concern of like, do we have any of those left in us? Yes, just a little bit.
Do we have any more of like an extended streak? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'd hope so.
Because you can't lose 2 games in a row from here. You got 12 games left. Yeah. You legitimately need to go 10-2 at worst.
I mean, you have to take 5 out of 6 against Detroit when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I don't want to overreact to one game. You got to take 5 out of 6 if you want to feel like you have a chance at it all.
216-474-0092. Did the Guardians have your attention yet? I think they've never really left my attention, yeah, but I will say that the vibe on yesterday's game.
So me and you watch these games.
That's as nervous as I've been.
We watch these games every night no matter what. That's part of our job, right? So I always feel like when we ask these type of questions, it's a little tough because we're going to watch these games. Part of what our job is that when they're a 70-win team, we're still watching the games. The same way when the Browns are a 3-win team, we're still watching the games. But it's whether or not you guys are into it. And I thought a lot of people were into it last night. But when we talked about the Guardians yesterday, it's not as if we got a bunch of reaction. Our phone lines have been lit up often throughout this show. It's not as if people are dying to get in this conversation right now. And so I do wonder where Guardians fans are. I wonder if there's a blasé about this team that has crept in, and or the stench is just too much to overcome for the general fan.
So I understand. I think there's more buzz than we might realize. I will say this. I think we're actually all kind of on the same page with the Guardians, which is, I don't know if they can do it. I hope they can. This is really fun. I don't want to jinx it, but I'm not going to get cocky about this. I'm not going to pound my chest about this because you're still far enough out from either the division or the wild card that with 12 games to go, not only do you need to be near flawless, like 10-2 or better, that's the goal. Like that needs to be the reality.
Yeah.
But you need some luck as well. And it feels like you've been really good, but you haven't got the luck around you. Like if the Astros had just had two more losses right now, you'd be a half game back off. The Astros have actually been pretty decent as well.
They've been beating the Rangers night in, night out, which there was a time we thought the Rangers would be a big play at the end of this. Looks like now the Astros have taken care of that. But yeah, none of this is happening by default. Like when the cop doesn't show up to fight the ticket, like you have to earn this. This is a reality for this Guardians team that you have to play basically what has turned out to be a 2.5 month stretch of baseball. If you finish out the next 12 games of being one of the best teams in baseball in order to get the job done.
So because of when John Fanta joined us yesterday, we didn't get a full chance to react to everything he said. And there was something he said about the Guardians and an edge they have over the Tigers. That's way too rich for my blood. But here's what John had to say about the Guardos yesterday.
I am going to tip my cap to Stephen Vogt because this thing could have been in the dumpster. And honestly, Cleveland, the Guardians could have been in the toilet a long time ago. And not to mention, the Guardians have a psychological edge against the Tigers, in my humble opinion. They have that playoff series win. And Jason Benetti, the voice of the Tigers, and other people that cover the Tigers have told me, for whatever reason, we get stiff when we play Cleveland.
So, with what he just said there.
You can't do that 2 days in a row.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
We can't do stiff jokes after Benetti.
I was not prepared for that. Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just thinking about the very literal sense of it. You do have to give Vogt credit. And I think that is something where I don't even think it was a defense. I think it was an observation about Stephen. Is he is a overly aggressive manager. And when that wins games, you love every second of it. And when you lose games, it feels like you're losing because of them. Neither of those things are probably incredibly true, but for them to stay in it to where they are now is a sign of a holistically good managerial job this year.
Well, he's getting them to play incredibly hard at this point, and I know people look at that and be like, oh, that's just a blanket statement. Let me give you two examples. The what should have been a double down the line, Hunter Gaddis, very first batter in the eighth inning, and then Kwan grabbed it off the wall, turned around, had a strike to second to hold the base runner at first. And then Nolan Jones. Jones throwing out Jones and one of the best outfield throws I think I've seen in 2 months. Like little things like that that I didn't see from this team really 2-3 months ago. And it seems like it pops in, night out. And these are the effort plays. These really are. These are the ones that can help define how the season goes in many ways. And saving runs in both those moments ended up in a spot where when Kerry Carpenter hit a ball to the moon, it didn't cost the Guardians.
The vote, the stuff he said about vote did not jump the shark for me. I'm not saying that the Guardians aren't in some way, that the Tigers, that they might be a little bit in their cage. To say a psychological edge, it just, I don't know, it's just a different season. And it's a different season and you have 5 more games to go. Like, to me, I think the next 5 games, in addition to last night, prove if you have the psychological edge.
I think you can have the psychological edge and it still not play out in your favor. I really do feel like right now they're playing harder and they're playing better baseball than the Tigers are. Mm-hmm. Detroit is in. They're not in a free fall. But again, they've been below 500 for 75 days, if you go back. I mean, it is a... Listen, you know, I listen to a lot of Detroit Sports Talk Radio, and I heard a caller yesterday on their afternoon show talking about how he just hates this Tigers team. Mm-hmm. Can't stand him. Just everything about this Tigers team stinks to him. It's unlikable. He doesn't like rooting them on, and it's like that's where they're at right now.
What a bad fan, by the way.
Well, I'd say it was just him, but it was also the fan that then led into Valenti and Rico, and the two of them were like, you're right. You're right. They're not a likable group. Like that's their mentality right now, because for 3 months they've watched Detroit just play 500 baseball and just kind of trot along.
Now, this being said, I think it might be a mix of the Guardians are playing better baseball than the Tigers are right now, and some lingering effect. But if you're saying, like, which one of those is more true, I'm just going to say right now the Guardians are playing better baseball. The psychological state thing, like, I think that takes years to manifest. Like, I think that is multiple times in the playoffs, multiple times in the regular season. I mean, Scooble's had your number this year.
Yes, he has. And we'll see him tomorrow.
They've got some kind Scooble's of chess pieces that you can't account for. I just think it's incredibly rich with not just five games left, but also if both teams make the playoffs, it just seems like kismet that you would meet at some point and reverse what happened last year, where they were the team that started hot, faltered at the end of the season, and then you were the team, and then all of a sudden they're that team this year. God, this is hard to say. And then you're the plucky upstart wild card team.
I mean, again, everything could change. They could lose tonight. They could lose tomorrow against Scooble, and we're singing a much different tune. There's no denying that. And am I making the suggestion they're going to win the AL Central now? No, I'm not drunk. I'm sitting here talking to you guys. Well, it's sober as a jaybird. And because of the second child coming, I don't even know the next time I'm going to drink, Nick.
For now.
It's going to be a really long time before I have alcohol in my system again.
I'm just going to say there's time to get it in.
Thanks for believing in me.
Yeah.
But even with the 2.5-year-old, it's not happening.
She goes to bed early.
Not really.
What time?
It's like 9:30.
Oh, that's plenty. You don't.
9:30?
Come on. That's plenty of time for you to get a nice.
I got too many things I have to do.
Like what?
I got to pack and get ready to go to the hospital. Everything that we're still putting together.
Me 5 minutes.
We're still putting together the baby's room, the new baby's room. Like there's a lot you have to
minutes.
Do. I can't do it. I can't pull it off.
I can't
pull it off. Not going
to
happen.
This is where multitasking to me is a skill. Hey, you got to cook dinner. Cool. I'm going to do it while drinking. Hey, got to watch that game.
Listen, wanted it bad enough, we could accomplish this.
Yeah?
I don't want it bad enough.
Mm. It seems like
I don't want it bad enough.
Seems like something has a psychological edge over you.
Is it alcohol right now? Because I feel like I'm beating its ass.
Yeah, no. You have the psychological edge.
I'm winning this battle
over alcohol. But it seems like maybe life's got a psychological edge over you.
Well, I mean,
I felt
that's
very
the truth.
David Caruso. Like I feel like I wish I had glasses to put on and then walk away. But I got to end the segment. 216-474-0092. It's just too rich for my blood. Maybe it's I don't want to jinx things. Do the Guardians have a psychological edge over the Tigers? As John Fanta and Jason Benetti might believe that they do. Ashley Bastock talks heat-related Browns issues. We'll talk the quarterback position. Are we on benching watch with Joe Flacco? And we'll get to this Packers game as well with Ashley in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Speaking of the good old days, it's not for the Browns. They're 0-2. But can they reclaim their glory this week against Green Bay? Why do we always introduce Ashley Bastock right after the most out-of-pocket conversations? Ashley Bastock every single Wednesday here at 3:20 of Cleveland.com. Ashley, I want to be very clear here. I don't do this on purpose. It just happens.
Guys, I got to be honest. I was finishing a story that's still not done yet. I have no clue what this out-of-pocket conversation was.
So never happened.
My question is, do I want to know? Because I feel like the answer is no.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah,
nah,
I would just.
Not this one.
Let's remain.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, this makes me feel a lot better now.
Yeah, you guys are off the hook. Oh my gosh, I was so worried about Denzel Ward and his cramping that he suffered in the Baltimore game. So be sure to read about that over on Cleveland.com later. But yeah, I have no idea what you were talking about because I was worried about Denzel.
Well, that's interesting because I have no idea what Kevin Stefanski's talking about when it comes to not Denzel's cramping issues, but DeJuan Jones' cramping issues. And it kind of threw up, like, I don't know that that sounds right, flares on Sunday. And then today when DeJuan said, I wasn't cramping or anything, am I in the wrong for suggesting it sure seems like this whole thing isn't on the level or isn't what maybe Kevin Stefanski says it is?
Well, I think you're not in the wrong for being like, this is weird. I can tell you what my impression is after today. I talked to DeJuan Jones, a group of us did. I was there for the full time he talked. I was obviously there for Kevin Stefanski's presser. So Kevin, the answer he had given regarding DeJuan Jones rotating some snaps in this game was related to heat. That was, I believe, how it was framed every time Kevin brought it up. I don't think he ever said the word cramping. He said related to heat. Now, when we talked to DeJuan Jones, DeWand is the one who said, well, it was essentially like predetermined. He went into the game knowing that that was going to be the plan to rotate him out because of how hot it was. It was like an 82 degree start to that game. I'm not sure if it actually felt like it was hotter with the feels like temperatures. So, yeah, certainly that is odd, right? Like, there's not a lot of left tackles, not really any other starting left tackle I can think of where a team is going to do that. Now, but here's the other part of it that I think will prevent the conspiracy theories about it. He was specifically asked, was this a performance issue then? And DeJuan said no. He said it was something he knew they were going to do going into that game. And again, you know, I still think that's worrisome when you are doing that for your starting left tackle. But DeJuan Jones is also a guy that we've seen struggle in the heat, and I'm guessing they didn't want to exacerbate anything or cause him to have to miss significant time if it could be avoided. And really, they did that. He did play a majority of the game, and he didn't exit and never come back. And, you know, I'm thinking of as recently as July 30th, we saw him have to leave one of these really, really hot training camp practices that they had a ton of. He was carted off related to heat. He had to leave the Jacksonville game last year in week two due to cramping. Of course, everyone probably remembers him throwing up at rookie minicamp a couple years ago. And while he ate too much that day, it was also really hot and muggy. So this is a player with a history of this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
And yeah, I definitely think it's a bit more than just heat related, as Kevin Stefanski said after talking to DeJuan Jones today, in the sense that they had a predetermined plan for how to manage him in that heat.
Yeah, Ashley, it was just really convenient, though, that DeJuan looked as bad as he did, and then he goes out. And then the moment he comes back in is right after the KT flag that got thrown. It was like the timing on that is convenient. You said it yourself. Nowhere else in the NFL do you see something like this happen. This is not what you do with starting left tackles.
No, and you know what? I think this week is going to be a really, really big test for him, right? That whole Green Bay line is so good. And obviously you have the added challenge now of Micah Parsons. And it's fascinating because last year when Micah Parsons played the Browns with the Cowboys, you know, he moves around a lot. He moves around a lot with the Cowboys. The Packers seem to be moving him around a lot as well. I asked DeJuan about that today. And he played mostly against DeJuan on the right side last year against the Browns. And according to PFF in that game, he had like 11 total pressures. One of those was a sack. And they didn't all come against DeJuan because he played like, I think, 23 snaps, I want to say, against James Hudson at the left tackle spot that game. So he did have some success against DeJuan. I'm curious to see how much are they going to try him there if Jack Conklin starts, which, you know, I would think things are trending that way right now. Would they want to match him up with DeJuan versus Jack? Like, it wouldn't surprise me to see that. But again, he's a guy who moves around. There's another shot there in terms of the performance aspect of it. But the fact that that was a plan going into that Baltimore game to have him rotate, I mean, maybe it was strategic during the timing, but it really does. I tend to believe them, the messaging that we've heard, that it was not a performance issue.
Ashley, speaking of performance issues, Joe Flacco's averaging two turnovers per game here. And to have this conversation, I've made the point of, like, it does feel like they're trying to dial Joe back a bit. And two numbers that stand out is his completed air yards per attempt in 2025 is almost half that lower, half that of what it was in 2023, and its intended air yards per attempt is, I want to say, almost three full yards less per attempt this year than it was in 2023. Do the Browns owe it to Joe Flacco to quote-unquote let him cook, meaning letting him throw the ball down the field more, if there are maybe some starting signs they might be willing to bench him in the near future?
Well, I think the issue is right now, after rewatching that Ravens game, I think it was especially evident, like, guys just weren't getting open, right? Like, I mean, I think it was a struggle for these guys to get open against Baltimore. Guys were falling down in the case of said Tillman. Like, I don't know that those numbers, like, those numbers are interesting, especially the yards per attempt number, I think is really interesting. But I also think when you have guys not getting open, and then you have Joe Flacco pushing and these deep throws in, you know, in the case of that attempt to David Njoku this past week, when that's getting picked off, it's like, man, you need to dial it back even more. Like, I don't know, but I think the problem might not be with the design in terms of how many yards is each throw, but how are these guys not getting open? Like, that to me is more of the real million-dollar question. Is that a scheme thing? Can they scheme something up? Was Baltimore just a bad matchup for them? Like, I don't know. But I think in order for him to have a chance at those, like, gunslinging-type throws, he needs more help. And I think those numbers from 23, probably a big part of that had to do with his chemistry with Amari Cooper. And I think, like, Joe Flacco and Jerry Jeudy have potential, but I don't think they are on the level that he was at with Amari Cooper that season yet. And again, I think a big part of that goes back to this four-way quarterback competition that just went on too long.
Ashley, by this time last week, we'd already had trash talk from Jerry Jeudy. I noticed I hadn't seen much trash talk towards the Packers this week. Was the vibe in the locker room just a little bit different when it comes to the mentality of basically calling out other players, et cetera?
Yeah, you know, I think that this week certainly already feels a little bit different. And, you know, I think a big part of that last week, these division games always get chippy. They just do. I think there's just something about them. It's teams that know each other so well. Teams that obviously I think the rivalries in the AFC North are very real. And yeah, I mean, the Packers have played so well these first two games, I think it is wise to not be giving them anything that could be construed as bulletin board material. So I definitely think the vibe feels different in that way, and I think that's a good thing right now. If you're the Browns, you want your play to do most of the talking when you're 0-2.
Ashley Bastock on the Fan Hotline here with Nick and JP. So the Browns are 0-2, and that doesn't bug me so much as the way the Baltimore game fell apart. So I probably am erring a little on the side of recency bias, but where's your maybe concernometer with the Browns at 0-2 coming off the Baltimore loss?
Ooh, are we going on like a scale of 1 to 10 and 10 being most concerned? Like,
yes.
What do you guys want me to do? Okay, let's do that. You know what? I'm going to say probably like a 7 or 8 right now, just because, look, I think we kind of know what is important for this team this year, and we knew it coming into the season, right? Like, we talked extensively about they need to figure out what the heck is going on at quarterback and how they're going to use their two first-round picks next year. I think this season they're kind of straddling the line between two worlds. Like, we know this isn't a traditional rebuild, but I think they have one group of players in, like, Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, those older veterans that are in their prime still, who they think are like those Super Bowl caliber players. But then now you have these young rookies. I think this draft class is like the best draft class we've seen from Andrew Berry, from everything we've seen so far. And you're trying to get them up to speed, but it's not a complete picture yet, and you don't have a quarterback. So it wouldn't surprise me. I think I came into this schedule this season being like, wow, these first six games are insane. Like, you could make an argument for them losing all six. Now, it's really hard to lose all six, but you can see a world in which that happens. So I'm not, like, overly panicked because they've lost the first two games, but I also think, like, my expectations were just different than they were last year. This is not a team that is going to seriously contend for the Super Bowl this year. We've talked about everything would need to go right for them in order to even make a push for a wild card spot. So I still think the most important things are figuring out your future at quarterback. Look, I do think I am concerned in the sense that I think there's a real possibility we might see Dillon Gabriel sooner than even the Browns expected. And I still hope that that is a decision whenever we do see Dillon Gabriel, when he starts, that it does not hinder his development, that it's not like a total disaster that he is walking into. I'll say it that way, because so much can go wrong for rookie quarterbacks. And I do hope he's still in the right spot. But look, I think overall the results, the two losses, like, if you told me 4 weeks ago, hey, they're going to be 0-2 after the first 2 weeks, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I can see when that happens, or how that happens, I guess I should say.
How concerned are you that it might be too early to put Dillon Gabriel out there?
Well, I mean, I think overall coming into the season, the week that I had marked was week 6 against the Steelers or week 7 against the Dolphins as being kind of like a natural turning point. Like, look, week 6 against the Steelers at on the road after the Steelers have a bye is a tough matchup. I think there truly is only so much you can do. Week 7 at the Dolphins, probably a little bit better the way things are going in Miami. But yeah, I mean, if you're starting him week 5 or week 4, like, you know, we don't have any indication that that's what's going to happen. So I'm talking hypothetically here, knowing he is the backup. I think you just worry about, is it going to be functional enough, the Browns offense, for him to not totally lose confidence? And again, I think that's why it's the right decision to stick with Joe Flacco now for as long as possible, because he is a veteran who can handle these things. I understand fans' frustration and wanting to see the rookies, but I really just keep harping on this because I really truly believe it. You saw what happens when a rookie quarterback gets thrown into one of these situations and is not ready with the Dorian Thompson-Robinson experience a few years ago. We don't need that again. So I do think, I hope he's prepared, and I hope they give him as much time to be prepared as possible. But those are things you do have to worry about if he is going to be making a start sooner rather than later.
Ashley, great stuff as always. We appreciate you. Hopefully this time next week we're talking about a win and maybe just a different angle on the season.
I hope we can have a more positive spin, but you guys go back to having some more unhinged conversations. I can't wait to recap them later.
Oh, don't you worry. That's exactly where we're going from here. Ashley Bastock there, Cleveland.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
com every single Wednesday at 3:20. Always great stuff with Ashley. We'll react to what she had to say, and including the note about DeJuan Jones in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Yeah, you know, our interest was piqued when we heard the heat related thing on Sunday, because it also happened that DeJuan didn't play very well, and that the timing of KT Leviston coming in sure seemed to time up with some of the worst moments that DeJuan had. And I know Ken has pointed this out in response to our initial video where we led with about Denzel Ward also had heat cramps. I just think it's interesting. Like, the Denzel thing happened in the moment. This was predetermined by the Cleveland Browns. And I don't recall them doing this for any other offensive lineman. And I know did have the episode in summer.
Yeah, I know. Interesting. Give as many episodes as he wants. What situation have you ever seen in NFL history where they're like, the starting left tackle is a predetermined plan, the starting left tackle, in response to trying to curb heat issues that, by the way, that left tackle says he didn't experience? just going to go ahead and just have a plan to rotate you in and out? Like, what is that? Yeah, I've never heard of that ever. I've never seen that ever. It doesn't pass the sniff test.
Yeah, and I think specific to this, it's not that there aren't other heat-related symptoms, right? It's not that there aren't. But the two most obvious ones are cramping and just flat out, I was dehydrated. And at least one of those has directly on the record been shut down by DeJuan. So I just think it's interesting. I really do. It still feels like 2 + 2 = 3 in this case.
Yeah, and this is where I say it's always not dangerous necessarily because it's just sports. It is what it is. But like to take everyone at face value in this equation, you're just doing yourself a wrong service. Like if it is in fact the idea that they had to pre-plan out that DeJuan Jones was going to rotate in and out of this game in a precaution for safety with heat, which is by the way the first time I've ever seen an NFL team take a precaution for somebody's health. You don't see that. But if that's the case, then you need a new left tackle. That's not how you do NFL. I'm sorry, it just isn't. You need somebody that can be out there for all the snaps, not somebody that you would take out for 20 snaps and then conveniently put in the moment after KT got his flag. Like, it's just, there's way too much convenience there. It's insane.
So I will say, I also think it's just funny. Not funny. I don't know if funny is the right word. I think it's interesting that this is the best shape we've ever seen DeJuan in. And he seems to be having more problems with heat-related things now. You've made the case before. Maybe
can
he
I
was
keep
better,
going down
fatter.
This road? I like fatter DeJuan Jones. Yes,
Can he deal with the heat more? I will tell you, the fatter I am, heat is just unbearable.
When he was a refrigerator with a helmet, the man was a consistent playmaker, and nobody could get around him. And now all of a sudden he's 50 pounds down, and it seems like he's got foot issues, he's got heat issues, he's got all sorts of problems apparently.
Now we've got Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. We'll ask him about the heat-related thing in about 10 minutes here. Also, give him kudos for shouting out. I'm on Cleveland Sports Talk Radio every Wednesday and calling his shot on the question we're going to definitely ask him to start this interview. But it should be noted that one thing people have started to wonder is Kevin Stefanski safe in season? And I still think that's the overly aggressive thing. Like, I think it has to get really bad with the Browns for that to even become a conversation. I think it's much more of a late season thing or the offseason thing. I cannot say the same thing about Mike McDaniel, and it's one of the things we're going to ask Ross about, because I kind of feel like if the Bills get blown out in this game this week, if the Bills blow out the Dolphins, I think Mike McDaniel's going to be the first coach murked.
I love the quote from McDaniel. He's like, I love this time. I like to see the pressure. I like to feel it. There's always pressure at some point in the season. I'm just getting it early. It's like, all right, Mike McDaniel. He knows how bad this is. He knows this is completely falling out on him.
It's weird. Like, I know they went 8-9 last year. They missed the playoffs. I know Jalen Ramsey's a pain in the Badinsky. I know Tyreek Hill. There seems to be a Odell Beckham Jr. kind of thing going on there where he just won't admit that he really doesn't like playing there and he didn't really like Mike McDaniel. He really didn't like Tua. So there's a lot going on. And they've got a lot of, like, veteran guys with a history of being divas, right? It's getting this bad this early that I think is going to be really interesting if they get blown out on Sunday.
Well, I mean, we heard all the talks all throughout the offseason, right? Like the idea that nobody bought into what Mike McDaniel's been selling. It's just, I feel like it's hard for someone like him who is a little bit quirky, who is a little bit different, to when it goes bad, be able to recover from it.
So that is the similarity. Like you and I have both at times camped Kevin and Mike McDaniel together as guys who might just be really, really good offensive coordinators.
Yeah.
And they just might not have the people skills to be head coaches. And I just think it's really interesting that the fear that I think is fair right now, after hearing his Monday press conference where he's like, well, to win, you got to win.
Yeah.
You know, like,
great analysis there, Mike.
But I mean, at the same point, Kevin Stefanski was asked about the offense and was like, we got to run the ball. And he got to pass the ball. It's like he damn near went full Shermer.
Yeah, but McDaniel even goes a little bit further, though.
No, he does.
He's got all like the wannabe perceived swag that really just misses for a lot of these guys. Like Stefanski at least seems at the heart of it like a football guy in many ways. Maybe not Dan Campbell level, but he still seems like a football guy to these guys. Whereas McDaniel just seems like he wants to talk about his shoes and his necklaces and everything else.
Oh, I don't know. I can agree with you on the football guy thing.
I mean, he's very nerdy about it all, but like, I think he comes across wrong at 5'7" or whatever he is, and wanting to bring up rap lyrics and trying to show off a personality that just doesn't resonate well with the athletes.
I mean, Mike Mike absolutely is the most extreme of this that I think we've ever seen of like the, hey, dude, you didn't play.
I think he's just corny is the problem.
No, 100%. With Kevin, it's not that he's not a football guy. So I don't want to say that. But I sometimes wonder if Kevin's like Joe Woods, where I think Joe Woods knows how to scheme up a defense. The problem was Joe didn't know how to maybe have relationships with his players, which you have to have as like the head coach of the defense. And it's not that Kevin doesn't know how to have relationships. I just don't think he might be more comfortable scheming things up as opposed to, you know, getting guys ready to play and temperature of the team and pulse of the team.
That part's clearly missing. There's no denying that. That part is clearly missing with Stefanski.
Now we got plan to get into, but 216-474-0092 is Mike McDaniel in danger of an imminent firing? Because I think another bleep kicking this weekend, it could be problematic. But Ross Tucker, his victory lap on behalf of Cleveland Sports Talk and Afternoon Drive. We'll also talk about quarterback change in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.